This is episode 34, part 2 of the Home and Family Culture podcast. I'm Jody Chafee, and in this episode, I'm continuing my conversation with Lee Waters and Britton Bennett of Waters and Bennett Blog, their solutions guide to staying present and collected while parenting in the 21st century. Welcome to the Home and Family Culture podcast, where I discuss how families can discover and design their collective vision, values, beliefs, and traditions that influence their family culture. In this podcast, I interview experts who offer tips and tools to inspire families in this process of developing their family culture, and also successful individuals whose success was influenced by their family culture growing up. Be sure to check out the show notes for this and every episode at homeandfamilyculture.com, where you can subscribe for my weekly newsletter filled with updates on the podcast and blog, as well as other tidbits of information I like to add. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or YouTube. Please subscribe to your favorite medium. You can also find me on social media at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and at _FamilyCulture on Twitter. Be sure to comment, follow, like, rate, and share. But enough about all of that. Let's get to the episode. Thank you for listening. Everyone has a family culture, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
And your family culture can be intentional, or it can be coasting and flying by the seat of your pants. And you're just not going to thrive if you are coasting.
No. No, you can never get caught up and see it for what it is.
You're just constantly going from problem to problem, so putting out fires constantly. And so, but when you're intentional, then you can see, like you were saying, Britton, too, is like, you can see what is your overarching goal, your overarching value, your picture that is going to shape who you are. And it starts to shape your behavior. It starts to shape what is filtering through that white noise. instead of just going, oh, whatever, who cares? Because you can't, it's not good enough anymore to coast. And it's one of those.
No. Well, and I realized that I don't want to wake up, one day my last child has moved out and I'm like, I didn't do anything except try to clean up messes and drive to soccer practice. I really don't want that regret. So I feel like, okay, the last year or two has been streamline the stuff I have to do. And what can I fit in that's more meaningful? Yeah. And I absolutely agree with Lee that stuff is just more, it's things you have to take time to take care of them and then get rid of them eventually. And it sucks up your life.
Yeah.
And it's sad and frustrating, but you have to actually take energy to not let things in you don't want in your house.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about bad and good, but just too much.
What do you hope to model for your kids about your attitude about home management?
I like to model for my kids that I take it as seriously as any of the other jobs I've had or will have. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a pretty colorful resume. So I've been a Forest Service firefighter, an English teacher in Russia. I've been staff for a congressman. I've been a lobbyist for Paralyzed Veterans of America, a library. I was a librarian at two different historical societies. And then, of course, a public swimming pool employee. Done it all. So, but like most moms, I have days I really miss my higher paced life and I'm tempted to be lazy because no one sees to either reprimand or praise me. Both are really motivating, right? To have someone see that you're not doing anything or praise you if you do a good job. But I want my kids to see that I'm working hard and problem solving and being deliberate in how we create routines and traditions and even fun. One way my husband and I have done that lately is to point out to our kids when we've sacrificed for them or when they should be grateful that they were able to do something fun, or even when it's mom or dad's turn to do something for themselves, for ourselves, because it's healthy. So yeah. Just yesterday, my son had the day off school and I had kind of forgotten about it, but he was whining because he was going to have to ride his bike several miles when I went on a long run. And I stopped and I said, instead of arguing with him or forcing him to do it or trying to coax him into doing it, I said, I told him that, Jamie, I spend most of my time doing things for you and your brother and sister to make you happy and to have fun and to feed you. And would you agree with that? He said, yes. He's six, by the way.
Yeah.
And I said, well, don't you think it makes sense that mom has to do some things sometimes? I have to do some things that are good for me. And going on this long run is good for me. And you're perfectly capable of riding your bike. So you're gonna, so it's my turn. Yeah, he's crazy on the bike.
He's very athletic.
I said, it's my turn. And you know what? He was so cool about it after that. He said, okay, mom, that makes sense. And so, and he did. And we actually had a wonderful time together. We spent kind of some one-on-one time that we wouldn't have otherwise. And he had a great attitude the whole time. And I see so many parents, and this sounds off topic, but I am talking about home management, you know, family management. But I see so many parents that are complete martyrs and just expect their kids to grow up one day and appreciate everything their parents did for them and suffered, because we totally suffer.
Yeah.
And we all, so in our family, we try to teach them that as we go along. And we try to involve them also in as many decisions as possible to get early exposure to accountability and realize how difficult but important it is to run a household and have the cooperation of the entire family.
Yeah.
So as weird as it sounds, I hope to model for them, one, that I'm taking my job of loving them very seriously and turning them into good people very seriously. But I'm doing that by by being really honest about how difficult it is and involving them in that process and teaching them gratitude and responsibility.
Mine's a little bit more simple, although I really like what you said, Brendan. Mine was just that stuff can take away from what's most important in our lives, right? So time, money, energy. And it just, at the end of the day, it does not by happiness. And I bring up stuff with the background of knowing that I used to have like a real shopping problem. And I'm very visual, as Britton said, and I just love beauty. And I had always,
and she's a talented interior designer too.
So. The background is that I like stuff. I used to have a real shopping problem, and I have been like just, you know, painfully and slowly like decluttering, you know, for like the last decade. I have fewer clothes than my husband now. And I used to write on
her closet is a dream. Her closet is so wonderful.
That's awesome.
So because there's so little in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's beautiful.
If my whole house could be like my closet, I'd be in great shape. And I will get there, but yeah. So
I'm the opposite. My closet's the worst.
Right.
Oh, no. But her house overall is way decluttered. So like, we'll get there, Brandon. We're going to trade off our strengths.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been where it's like, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my money. I'm wasting my energy spending like, obtaining stuff, like collecting stuff. And now I'm spending twice the energy, time, and even money, because you're getting rid of stuff that you've bought. You know, to get rid of it. And what I realize is that I just feel like I got to preach this to my kids, because going back to what I said in the beginning, like if it's in your house, it's got to be cared for or cleaned. And that goes into the totality of home management, simply because if it's in your way, because you don't have time to clean it, you know, then you're late for the ice cream date with your, you know, kid. You have like an hour for an ice cream date, and then you can't get there on time because you can't find the shoes, and then they're going to be late for soccer practice, and then the ice cream date doesn't happen or whatever. And, you know, so it's, or if you're walking around and, you know, every time your brain sees an object, it has to internalize that information. Yeah. So the more objects that we have, the more cluttered our brains are, and then the less able to function we are as humans. Or, you know, we might feel like agitated and we don't know why, and then we lash out at our kids. And I'm a quick temper. So for me to be so visual, I've learned it is so important for me to have not a lot going on. And I might have more than some people, but for me, I've come, like, I don't have anything on my dining room table anymore, you know? And as a designer, that's really hard, not have like some centerpiece there or whatever, but it's like, but now I don't have to worry about my kids climbing up and taking all the flowers out of the arrangement or whatever,
right?
You know, and I do still have floral arrangements and different things that are artistic or creative or visually pleasing, whatever you want to say, in my house.
Yeah.
But certain surfaces are blank surfaces now. And that's baby steps for me in the right direction. And, you know, I'm not saying everyone needs to take all the decoration out of their house, because I also was an art undergrad, you know, for my undergrad is art education. So I love beauty and I love art, and I'm never not going to have it. And I don't
aesthetically pleasing in your house, right? You still want aesthetics. Yeah.
Yeah. But no more gallery walls in my house. That's something I've learned. Like, I take that back. I have a family gallery wall going up my stairs. But other than that, it's like a section of wall gets one picture, because for me, too many pictures was too much stress, and therefore, you know, so yeah. So what I want to instill in my kids is just limit your stuff, your stuff.
So the book that I just read recently was Clutter Busting. And that was his big motto, is like, you are not your stuff. You can't imbue your stuff with your value or your experiences. You know, they might trigger a memory or things like that, but they're not you. They're not your
right.
They're not your experiences. And so your stuff, it's just stuff, and it doesn't give you any more value or worth as a person. And you really should just focus on the experiences, because that's where the value, that's where the value comes from. It's not your stuff.
Yeah.
What is your number one tip that you want to help or give to parents who are trying to maintain their homes?
For me, I'd say sit down and actually write down what matters to you, whether that's religion, traditions, activities, travel, art, sports, whatever. It's most likely a combination of things, of course. And then starting with that as your center, start trimming, cut out the rest.
Yeah.
Both tangible things and what you do with your time. The results will look very different for every family, and I really love that it does. But start with your center and move out from there and work with the time you have and space you have.
Perfect. How about you, Lee?
All right. If it takes less than 2 minutes, do it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, load that laundry on your way out the door, make your bed when you wake up, start the dishwasher after dinner, pick up the library books in the basket, or have your kids pick up. That's a great thing. Your kids can put, I have a basket in each room in my house. So have the kids load the basket. I say load the basket. It takes 2 minutes. Put it all in there.
Easy bite-sized chunks. In fact, I just listened to another podcast that they referenced that concept of one bite at a time. It was interesting. I'll have to put a link into it. It was called 3 and 30 podcast.
Love it.
And what are your favorite books on home management? Do you have some favorite books?
I have never read a book about home management, but there are some fabulous resources through blogs, and I'll just list a few, and you can put them in your show notes.
Yeah.
Clean My Space is by Melissa Makers, fabulous Canadian gal. And she actually did write a book. A lot of these people have ended up writing books, but I just have been reading the blogs, and I haven't read the books yet, but because I don't want to bring the books into my house.
Right.
It's kind of funny when organizational people are writing books. I'm like, can you not? Because it's one more thing. But, and then Samantha over at Simply So Organized. And I really like Real Simple Magazine. I don't subscribe to it because, again, it's one more thing in my house. But I love their website, and there's a table called the Elements of Clean table that they put in a magazine like a decade ago, and it's floating around the internet, and I'll try and find a copy of it, but it's basically got all these tasks divided into what you should do every day, what you should do every week, what you should do every month. And like Britton said, look at what's important to you on that table and then slash the rest, or pay somebody else to do it. You know, you don't have to have somebody come pay, like pay somebody to come clean your house every week or every month. It can be like once a year, you know, or once a quarter or once every 6 months. Like you can do it when you want. It doesn't have to be a top to bottom clean. If you don't like cleaning the dust on your chandeliers, but yet it bothers you, then say, hey, can you swing by and get this every few months?
That's a really great tip, because I think that sometimes we get into this mentality that we have to do it all, right?
Right.
Or, you know, things like that. And or maybe house maid would be too expensive. But that idea, just once a year, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Well, and I'm going to cop to it. Britton and I both pay people to clean our houses from time to time. I am kind of like on again, off again. Britton's more consistent, I think. Britton, how often do you do it?
Yeah, I have someone clean my house monthly.
Wow.
And it really doesn't take much cutting out of other areas of my life, because it makes me so happy. I had one friend recently who said, it's the only day of the month I'm truly happy. I loved how honest she was about it when her house was cleaned all at once. I do, because it's a priority for me. It makes me so happy and I can focus on other things. And then I just do keep up through the rest of the month. And I'm not as impatient with my kids trying to teach them how to do chores.
Right. So you have been able to recognize though, how valuable this is. Like it detracts when it's overwhelming. It really does detract from your, you know, your stress level, your anxiety, the fogginess, whatever it is, you know, that it's really that important, that it's like, okay, it's okay to allow somebody else to come. And I can hear people in their minds going, oh, well, that's why her house is so clean, because she blah, blah, blah. Well,
no, but you got to clean before they come, because they're not going to put your clutter away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You still have to keep your house decluttered.
And the decluttering part is, I feel like the cleaning comes after, but the decluttering part, I have definite, you know, methods for doing that and what makes it look like it makes it stay clean looking.
Okay, Britton, what do you have, any books that you recommend for home management?
Actually, the ones I refer back to most often for inspiration, I like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
Mm-hmm.
And, but my biggest one I go back to most are The Happiness Project and Happier at Home by Gretchen Rubin.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that woman just gets me. So, she's just very efficient and likes things simple, and I feel the same way about things she does, but she does such a good job at writing about identifying what's important to you and what makes each person happy, because it's going to be different for everyone. And then listening to those books really inspired me, just got me going, my wheels turning about what I could make better in my house.
So. Yeah. I want to throw one out there. Just as as Lee was talking about her closet, I really like Dressing Your Truth by Carol Tuttle.
Mm.
I haven't read
I've heard of that one.
The website I've done, it goes back to your idea of like know your personality and stuff, because it's energy profiling. But what I love about it is that she takes your energy profile and she's broken it down and into like shapes and styles and colors and things like that, so that it actually makes it a lot easier to buy clothes. Because if you're buying clothes that fit your energy, then you feel better about what you're wearing, and you can eliminate all of the clothes in your closet that don't honor your energy. And and it's so easy. So like before I started doing it, my mom had done it, and we went into like some thrift store, and usually at thrift store, you have to like go through every single item on the rack, right? She went in and she was in for maybe like 5 or 10 minutes, and she came back with a whole handful of stuff. And she's like, yeah, all this stuff fits with my energy profiling and it's all my size. And I was like, what? I'm all in with this. If you shop for clothes,
what?
Then I want to know what this
That's
is.
That's pretty easy.
And so, right. And it was like, it's a way too that everything in your closet fits together. So it's like, you don't have to like have outfits or anything. You can just be like, oh, grab a pair of pants, a shirt, whatever, you know, everything
wow.
is part of that energy. Is a tip for if you want to organize your closet better and learn about your personality, that dressing your truth is a really great one, because you can, I mean, I went through and I just like got rid of just about everything.
Those are the same concepts that can apply to your house too.
Yes.
Just, I mean, going back to the house is that, you know, I remember the first time I thought about decluttering or minimalism was before the whole movement. I was in my early 20s and traveling frequently for work. I started noticing how good I felt when I walked into a hotel room after work hours. I realized it was restful for me to walk into a space with no distractions besides the essentials. And, you know, shower, comfortable bed, very few clothes to pick from. And then along with that, I remembered how alive and happy I felt in the summers when I was firefighting through undergrad. Mm-hmm. I went to bed tired from physical labor. My body woke early on its own. My bedtime and morning routines were about 10 minutes total because of how lightly I was forced to pack. Anyway, I spent entire days and nights, months on end in the fresh air. So with those two things in mind, I just determined to dump my house of all the excess and then bring the outdoors in whenever I could. So lots of natural light, white to reflect it, live plants, fresh and fake flowers, landscape paintings, stuff like that. So I think there's all these ways, again, back to your personality or your color, or your energy or whatever you're talking about, you can identify what to keep and what to throw out.
Yep.
That's great advice.
Exactly. It's awesome. It's so true. It feels better. I like that what you said, you just felt, you feel peaceful. And when you have that, whether it's what you put on your body or have around you in your environment, it really does affect the way that you feel and the peace, your level of peace and comfort and security that you feel. So I really like that. Awesome. Well, Britton and Lee, thank you so much. I love everything that we talked about, and it's been so useful. I think that, you know, there's so much that it impacts our family culture and the feelings that we have. And I think my number one takeaway from this conversation has been, you know, to filter out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and that, you know, to minimize so that you're not distracted by what's going on in your house. So thank you so much. I love everything that you said, and I really appreciate your work and your blog, and that you are putting content out there to contribute and add to the good content that's out there in support of families and mothers. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you again, Lee and Britton. I loved talking to these ladies. They are so wonderful and so smart and brilliant. Just great ideas, great thoughts. And their blog has lots of great ideas too. So be sure to go check out watersandbennett.com. And you can see all of my show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com. Please do me a favor and take a moment to comment and like and rate and share this episode and the first part of this episode. That would be so amazing, and I'd really appreciate it. To learn more about some of my favorite books too, you can go to homeandfamilyculture.com/books. Thank you so much for listening and for your support.